Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
I'm not in a mood for drama with my Jason.
Why are you always trying to stir stuff up, Jason?
Is on Rutledge and Hamilton.
I don't know if I will go as far as you will.
With Jim Rutledge and Matt Hamilton.
All right, boys. All right.
Presented by Coors Light.
Jason Wilde joins Rutledge and Hamilton. No Hamilton. Have Colin Russo in Hamilton's place. Hamilton is with his sister in Sweden, competing in mixed doubles in the World Championship. And he's rocking an ESPN Madison logo on his sleeve. So shout out to Matt for doing that. Jason, how are you doing today?
Did we have to pay for that, like a NASCAR logo on one of the cars? How did that work out?
I don't believe so. I think Matt, the way he presented it, now maybe he went above our pay grades, but the way he presented it is that he just decided he had room and he wanted to give some love to ESPN Madison. He couldn't do it with Team Schuster, but he could do it with his sister. She approved it as well.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm glad. Is it Alex Stroh's face next to the ESPN Madison logo since he's leaving us and we're saying farewell to him?
That's irrelevant.
Isn't that ridiculous? The multiple farewell parties? You'd think this guy was a Hall of Famer batting 350 for his career.
You'd think he was dying.
Yeah. He's moving down the road, Jason. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm Team Russo on this. It's not like he took a job with ESPN nationally. He's moving to Bristol. Like, he's moving like 78 miles away, and we're all still going to talk to him. So I agree. I'm happy for him. You know, I've talked many times about how we're lucky to have such young talent with Woolley and Stroh and Colin. I mean, and Hunter. We got a great young group. So it's good to be, you know, kind of like Goody. We got a really young team that you have your growing pains, right, Woolley? You get on the other side of them, and then you've got some pretty really talented young people. So I wish Stroh the best, and I look forward to talking to him when I'm on KBN on a regular basis.
Yeah, honestly, it'd be more life-changing for him if he had moved to Green Bay. Like, that would have been a further move away than it would have been for him to go to Milwaukee like he's doing.
He could live with his parents.
Right, exactly.
Perfect.
Jason, you mentioned Goody and the draft here, and Colin and I went over this earlier, and I'm sure you and Talish have done this as well, but like on the whole, like I would give Goody a grade B+ as a drafter, and you know, he's had some real bad ones. He's had this last one we assume is good, but it's only 1 year in. Some of the players we love might not, you know, turn out to be completely as Colin will tell you, as a Jaguars fan, I mean, the way that Jaguars fan felt about their team and Trevor Lawrence 2 years ago is exactly how Packer fans probably feel about Jordan Love and their team right now. It's never guaranteed, but what grade would you give Goody as a drafter for his entire career as the GM of the Packers?
Yeah, I think his grading is a little bit like the Packers as a team last year, right? They started 2-5.
Yeah.
And then they went 7-3 in the last 10, won a playoff game. Like, you know, you look back on his draft, the 2018 draft, the only one left is Jaire Alexander, who was, as we know, a bit of a malcontent last year, got himself suspended. But more importantly, like a bunch of those other picks, the 2018 class, you should at least have one or two other guys still on your team. But I read through the names, you know, Josh Jackson in the second round. Oren Burks is still playing in the league, just not with them. MVS got a couple of rings with the Chiefs, but the only one left on the roster is Jaire. The 19 draft, Rashawn Gary, who, you know, I'm going to be graceful with him because I did not think he was as good as Tausch thought he was going into the 2022 season, but when he tears the ACL, I'm going to give him a slight pass for not kind of regaining that on the verge of elite status last season, but I have high expectations from this season. And then they've got Elgton Jenkins, who was a really good offensive lineman for them, but that's all they have left from that draft. So we keep looking, you know, you keep scrolling up, and then you got 2020's draft where you got Jordan Love and you got AJ Dillon, and you didn't even want AJ Dillon, but nobody else wanted him either, and so you're able to get him back on the cheap, right? Those are the first three drafts that he had, not great. And then 2021, Eric Stokes has had all kinds of injury issues. I don't think he played that well as a rookie to begin with. We're sitting here talking about how they're going to need to draft the center because they're not going to re-sign Josh Myers. Amari Rodgers was terrible. They've basically got Isaiah McDuffie, who is a sixth-round pick and probably will start at middle linebacker. They got T.J. Slayton, who they like on the defensive line. And they got Royce Newman, who is still on the team, not sure how. So those first four of his six drafts, that's like a D, isn't it?
Yeah,
we're being fair.
Yeah,
Jason, I want to ask you this as well. Like, it's a bit to the testament to how good the Packers organization as a whole, top to bottom, is ran comparatively to the rest of the league. You know, they trust their guys, they trust their developmental system, they have a good management system. It's fascinatingly well run comparatively to most NFL teams. You after the drafts that we just named, I'm not going to say fireable. But like a lot of GMs would not have that type of leeway to get four drafts where there's a lot more misses than hits comparatively to what Goody gets. And I think that's a testament to how good the Packers were. They were lucky because they had, quote unquote, a golden ticket in the Aaron Rodgers, keeping them afloat.
Well, that's it.
That's the whole reason. You got to hit with one position. You got to hit the quarterback.
Right. I mean, having Rodgers allows you, when Rodgers was at the peak of his powers, and obviously 2022 he didn't play well. And they now have moved on from him, and they're happy with Jordan Love. But those four drafts that I named, they were in the NFC Championship game in 19, they were in the NFC Championship game in 20, and they were the number one seed in 2021, in large part because Rodgers won two of his four MVPs, and he was able to erase a lot of those misses. Now, in fairness to Goody, the 2022 draft, you know, I'm still not sold on Quay Walker. I'm still not sold on Devontae Wyatt. And I'm still not sold on Christian Watson. But I still think there's hope for all of them to be good players. I think Romeo Doubs has shown that his floor is that he is a serviceable NFL starter at wide receiver. And I think Zach Tom has shown that he's a top-flight tackle in this league. And Rashid Walker is going to have an opportunity to prove that he belongs at left tackle and they don't need to draft someone, whether or not they do. In the next few days, we'll have to wait and see. But to your point, the grade goes up because of the last two drafts. But Goody admitted it yesterday that maybe we see this draft, this past draft, the way we do because they got so much more opportunity than previous drafts have, right? So many of them got to play right away. So maybe that skews our perception, and we'll have to wait and see how they parlay their success during the second half of last season into greater success moving forward.
Jason, I wanted to talk with you about, you know, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers and the great, he just covered so many warts with the team, but he did fall. And I was going to ask you, because I want to tie it to possibly the Packers here, but when he slipped, obviously I think Jeff Tedford and kind of the stink around Tedford not developing quarterbacks from college was part of it. Was there a talk about Aaron Rodgers and his like personality or overconfidence? Was that any, you know, looking back on any of the reason that he fell?
I don't think so. I mean, I maybe a little bit, but I think the Tedford thing, I think, you know, his level of experience, you know, he was at Cal 2 years.
Yeah.
He had the year at Butte College. Like, you know, I think that was, there was more of a projection there. And I think that some teams got a little bit of cold feet that way. I definitely think, you know, the way he carried the football up by his ear hole, the way Tedford taught his guys, you know, some questions about his mechanics were part of it. I do think that there were some teams that he did rub the wrong way. I remember there being reports of that. But I don't, again, you know, I think that's a position where you have to be cocky. You know, one of my favorite college players of all time, because I spent so much time with, you know, a connection to Oregon, is Marcus Mariota. Yeah. I mean, he was an outstanding college quarterback. He won the Heisman. I mean, he was great. He was a great, really beloved teammate, beloved in Eugene and throughout the state of Oregon. And he got to the NFL, and he did not have the, what do you want to call it, swagger? I'm not cool enough to call it swag or anything like that. But he's, you know, he just, there wasn't that it factor with him. And I do think that with Rodgers, even if he rubbed people the wrong way, you know, remember, this is a guy who went to Paradise Valley High School, and when they asked, what are you going to bring to our school, his response to the principal or whatever as he was trying to get enrolled was, I'll make your sports teams better. So he never lacked for confidence, even going back to high school, and even when he had to, you know, have to stop at a junior college on his way to Division I. So maybe that rubbed some people the wrong way, but I would also argue that it didn't really rub many people the wrong way until, you know, the later years when he had success and he was, you know, showing up teammates and throwing his arms up in the air and all that kind of stuff.
So I wanted to follow up with that part of it. So I was listening to the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark, Channing Crowder. They had Caleb Williams on there, and he was talking about the way he emulates his game. And honestly, the way he – and just when I was listening to him, the way he talked, it reminds me more of Rodgers when he was chatting with you than the insane Aaron Rodgers now, thankfully. But it was – and he compared it to how Kobe took to the point of emulating everything about Jordan. And obviously he had to make it his own over time. But I just find it fascinating that the assumed number one overall pick, the future franchise QB for the Bears, is a guy who, playing style, personality-wise, and he's open about it, has just copied Aaron Rodgers to a T. And it's mind-blowing to me, one, that Aaron is old enough to have a player that is now growing up loving him and then trying to copy him. But then, two, that the quarterback for their rival, they want the team that Aaron Rodgers owned, could be, in theory, saved by a guy who is trying to mimic Aaron Rodgers the best way possible. And I think that could be really interesting over the years.
I agree. And look, I understand, and I have some of those same feelings about the things that he says now. You know, I do still, we've talked about this before. You know, I have a long history with him. I still care about the guy. I don't understand the place that he's in his life right now and some of the things he believes and some of the things he chooses to talk about. But if you talk to Jordan Love, he would tell you that Rodgers has been absolutely fantastic to him. And maybe in part that's a function of everything he dealt with Favre and how poorly he was treated. Maybe that's a function of, because we saw it with Zach Wilson and Tim Boyle in New York last year, like, you know, he's disconnected from his family, so maybe there's a brotherly surrogacy there where he wants to be the older brother to those guys. But regardless of how you feel about some of the, in my opinion, wacky things that he says, no matter how you feel about that, the guys that play with him and are around him and emulate him from a much closer proximity than Caleb Williams is being able to, because he's not on his team, they all rave about him. And how many times when you were watching Packers games did you see the television broadcast pull up a clip of Rodgers doing something and then run something that Love had just done in that game and it looked exactly the same, right? So, you know, if I'm a Bears fan and I hear Jim Rutledge talking about how, you know, Caleb Williams is talking about emulating Aaron Rodgers, even if you're cringing about some of the other stuff that's gone on in recent years, you should be head over heels. If he can successfully do that to the degree that Kobe Bryant did with Jordan, like, you know, Sydney's 13, she's a basketball player, among other things, but I send her these clips from different things that Kobe talked about in retirement or even during his career that I find incredibly inspirational.
Yeah.
So if that worked for him to follow Jordan, then if it works half as well for Caleb Williams following Rodgers, then you're going to be an awfully happy Bears fan.
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said about, everybody knows, but there's a different Aaron Rodgers on the field as there is Aaron Rodgers with a camera in his face. And the same could be said about Michael Jordan as well, however you want to view that.
Yeah.
And I think Kobe did a good job. And, you know, you got to see if there's a guy to emulate on the field and as a teammate and as a guy in the locker room, I think Aaron Rodgers is up there. You know, Jason, with the draft coming up this weekend, Packers 11 picks, we could assume that could be 13, 14 picks, or that could be 7 or 8 picks. You know, people grade these picks as hit or miss. In your eyes, you know, a couple, 5 picks, I believe, in the first 2 days. How many hits would the Packers need to get this weekend in order to satisfy you?
Yeah, I think it's really hard to replicate what he did last year because you look at, and again, it's only 1 year or only 1 season that these guys played, but you feel like there's a lot of hits in there. And I think they need to do that on the defensive side of the ball, frankly. They've got a lot of needs over there. They need a safety. They need more corners. They need a linebacker. They always need edge rushers. They got two defensive linemen, including Kenny Clark, who are going into the last year of their deal. So they've got a lot of needs on that side of the ball. I mean, if you can get three hits out of those five, 60% would be fantastic. But again, you know, we probably don't want to judge them immediately. At the same time, I think it's really interesting that Goody, you know, he's got the ammunition that if he really wants to make a splash, he can go up pretty high with what he's got to work with. I did not get the sense from our Q&A session with him yesterday. I think he really wants to keep all five of those picks. I don't think he wants to come out of, you know, the first 2 days having only picked three guys or four guys. And to your point about the 11, he said he would love to get to 13 or 14 picks, so he has that many more swings at the plate. But there are, you know, I'm not a baseball expert, but there are better pitches to swing at than others, right? And you may get 14 swings, but if you're chasing balls out of the zone, that's not a quality at bat. And he wants to make sure that those first five, which are clearly opportunities to have quality at bats, that he gets quality players out of them.
I like that baseball analogy. Jason, thank you for hopping on with us.
All right, fellas. Take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde. You can hear him with Wilde and Tausch. You can listen back Wisconsin on Demand, Apple, Spotify, and all those great places. Brought to you by our good friends at Revive Restoration. This is Rutledge and Hamilton, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Rutledge and Hamilton, presented by Coors Light. Need more of Judgmental Jim? Subscribe to the Rutledge and Hamilton podcast, presented by Revive Restoration, wherever you get your podcasts.